Tennessee grabs a defensive back out of the transfer portal. Who committed to Tennessee? We'll tell you on today's Locked On Vols. Plus, it's Twitter Tuesday. Tons of baseball questions about the top-ranked Volunteers, football, recruiting, and a whole lot more. Dial in. This is your Tuesday Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody, and welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, and I am your host, Eric Kane. At underscore Kaner on Twitter and at Locked On Vols. I do radio in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I write for the rival site covering the University of Tennessee. That is VolQuest.com. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day, and we've got a big show ahead. Tennessee lands a transfer commit from Andre Turrentine via the transfer portal from Ohio State. We'll break down that move, what it could mean for the defensive secondary, and then we'll get into your Twitter Tuesday questions for the rest of the show. So, Andre Turrentine, and if you're like me, and now maybe not so much like me, I do cover recruiting. When the name Andre Turrentine went into the transfer portal a little over a week ago, Turrentine, I was like, I know that name, but who is that name? Well, he was a four-star cornerback from Ensworth, that is in Nashville, Tennessee. He was an in-state prospect for the class of 2021. So that's how I knew that name. Tennessee was in on the recruitment initially, as was Alabama and LSU. USC was in there as well, but I'm trying to remember correctly. I don't believe Jeremy Pruitt really tried to get Andre Turrentine here to Tennessee from the get-go, if I'm remembering correctly. You know, I've been wrong before, but I do believe that's kind of the case there. But Andre Turrentine, according to Rivals, he was a top 200 player, prospect number 191 in the entire class. Owned a Rivals rating of 5.8. He was fifth in the state of Tennessee and 18th at the cornerback position. Now, he committed and signed with Ohio State, and he went in as a free safety. He's got good size, decent size, 6 foot, about 180, 190 pounds. When he was being recruited, and he went in as a free safety to Ohio State. Had offers from an up and down the SEC roster for sure, and it kind of came down, like I said, to Alabama, LSU, USC, and a little bit of Tennessee. And so he redshirted as a freshman this past season at Ohio State, which ultimately ended up being his lone season in Columbus. And I reached out to our guy, our Locked On Buckeyes host, Jay Stevens, was trying to get him to join us on the podcast today, but due to scheduling conflicts, just wasn't able to make that happen. But we'll get him on to talk Andre Turrentine sooner or later. But I reached out to Jay Stevens. I was like, hey, man, can you give me any insights on Andre Turrentine? I remember when he was being recruited a little bit, but Tennessee wasn't a heavy, heavy factor there. And he said, yeah, I'll send you some notes. So this is from our guy, Jay Stevens, the host of Locked On Buckeyes. He played 4 games last year, but didn't record any stats, so he was a redshirt. Entered the portal after the spring game. Played a team-high 106 snaps, recorded 9 tackles, and 1 pass breakup during the spring game at free safety. He played basketball and ran track in high school, was also played both ways on the football team. So, a guy that was, you know, at least, and again, you know, every spring you're limited, guys with off-season injuries, guys, you know, sitting out for various reasons or another. And that's, you know, that was the case for Tennessee for sure. So, you know, maybe it was a case of they were just very thin in the secondary, but Andre Turrentine was very much heavily involved in playing for Ohio State this spring. Again, I didn't just get that from Jay. I got it from a couple other people as well. Played about 106 snaps in that spring game at free safety. I think they played 118 defensive snaps in that spring game, and Turrentine was in there for 106 of them. So it sounds to me like they really lack some depth at safety, but nonetheless, he got a ton of run and played well from what it seems like in that spring game. Talking to people, other people in Columbus, saying that this is kind of a big-time loss for Ohio State because they're relying on him so much coming up for this year. And, you know, it's a good move for Tennessee. It makes sense. Tennessee, he is an Ensworth standout from Nashville, a Nashville, Tennessee native. And he's coming home, in a sense, just a couple hours away from his Nashville home. That's much better than traveling, you know, the 7 to 8 hours to Ohio State like he had been. So Tennessee grabs another transfer defensive back in the portal. Now that joins the likes of Gerald Mincy, an offensive tackle a transfer coming in. It joins the likes of Wesley Walker from Georgia Tech, who is also a safety. Andre Turrentine said at the time of his recruiting that he can play all over the defensive backfield. He can play cornerback. He's going in as a free safety. He can also play the nickel slot cornerback, and you know that's that star position. So I'm intrigued to see what Andre Turrentine does here at Tennessee. Does he come in and play safety immediately? Does he come in? Does he start repping at the star position? Does he see any action at cornerback because Tennessee's so thin there? They'll have some bodies back, of course. Tennessee was depleted this spring with injuries to Warren Burrell, Brandon Turnage, Kamal Haddon, Deshaun Rucker, even DeNico Slaughter, who went over there to play cornerback this spring. He was out after the first week of spring camp, right? And so I'm really interested. Defensive backfield is going to be very fascinating to me come camp time because Tennessee obviously needs to get better production from its defensive secondary, and that, you know, is all tied into the front four. Can you get a consistent pass rush with just four guys without, you know, going cover zero, cover one, going man up essentially, and bringing pressure from the second level of the linebacker position? You know, that's a bigger conversation, of course, but, you know, who's going to play where? Is Trayvon Flowers going to stick at safety, or is he going to play that star position? Jalen McCullough, is he going to stick at safety, or is he going to ride the bench? Christian Charles, he might be the biggest variable in it all. Will he play cornerback, or will he play safety? I believe he's going to play a little bit of both, and you guys know that. I've been very consistent in that in saying I believe that he will play starter-type snaps, but he might not be a starter. Regardless, I think he's going to be a factor in Tennessee's defense. Will Warren Burrell come back? I think the coaches have faith in him and believe in him, and he's the veteran of that group. Will Kamal Haddon step up? What about Brandon Turnage? Where is he going to play? And also, you know, DeNico Slaughter is a guy that, you know, Tennessee had high hopes for and has played a little bit in his early tenure. And then now you add in Wesley Walker from Georgia Tech and Andre Turrentine from Ohio State, two inside guys. I mean, hey, it could be interesting come fall. There could be some players that we expect to play that aren't going to be playing an awful lot. And then ultimately the transfer portal's there and there might be some departures. Who knows? But this is good for Tennessee. You need to create some competition, especially at the safety position, because those guys were just not good. Now, they both had a really, really good spring, and that's good. That's encouraging. Trayvon Flowers very easily could play that star position. I don't believe he was, I don't think he really could do it much this spring because they were just so thin. But going into spring, the talk was that he was going to get a lot of reps at the star position in spring. So, you know, we'll have to see. And I think he still did rep some at the star position. But when we were out there, the media covering, he was playing safety. In that second spring game, he was playing safety. But again, they were just so thin. But Andre Turrentine, a four-star, 6 foot, about 180 pounds from Nashville, Tennessee, a transfer from Ohio State, redshirted there, played in four games this past season, but redshirted, played 106 snaps in the spring game for the Buckeyes. He elects to come home. Austin Price caught up with him at FallQuest.com and chatted with him. That's on the website again, FallQuest.com, if you want to hear from Andre Turrentine. So will be interesting, to say the least, to see, you know, what Tennessee is going to get from Andre Turrentine and one of the more intriguing guys coming in. Now, what's that mean left? You know, we've been on Brew McCoy watch for quite some time. When and if, I don't believe it's an if, I think it's a when, right? I do believe Tennessee's in really, really good shape to get Brew McCoy. I believe something could happen very, very soon, so we'll have to see. If Tennessee is officially able to land Brew McCoy, you're looking at potentially two starters, maybe three starters. We'll have to see how Gerald Mincy continues to battle with J.J. Crawford on the offensive line. More on that position later on in Twitter Tuesday. That's coming up here in a moment. We'll see what Wesley Walker does. We'll see what Andre Turrentine does. You know, it should be interesting. You know Brew McCoy, if he comes to Tennessee officially, he will start. Absolutely. So, you know, that's kind of where we are right now. And, you know, the transfer portal officially closed on May the 1st. There are some names in there that probably aren't made public just yet that we don't know about that, you know, we'll learn in the coming days. But, you know, no one else can go into the transfer portal right now. So it's a pool in there, and Tennessee's got some spots to fill, and we'll have to see how many more they add throughout the month of May and then, of course, throughout the early summer. But what we do know, Andre Turrentine coming back to the state of Tennessee, and he will suit up for the orange and white this fall for the Volunteers. That was the news that broke, we'll call it late morning, around 11:15 on a Monday morning. Andre Turrentine transferring to Tennessee. So we got plenty more left here on this edition of Locked On Vols. Your Twitter Tuesday questions, plenty of baseball, plenty on football, a little bit of everything. So looking forward to that. That's all coming up here on a Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. Stick around. Welcome back into Locked On Vols, your team every single day here on this Tuesday morning. Guys, can't thank you enough for hanging out with me. Little reminder, I am recording this episode on a Monday evening like I normally would. Tomorrow, which I guess when you're listening and watching this will be today, I will record Wednesday's episode normally, but I have been pre-recording Thursday and Friday's episodes because I'm going to the beach here on a Wednesday. So keep in mind, if anything breaks later in the week, it won't be real-time reaction on the podcast, but don't worry, I will make up for it when I do get home. But there will be an episode every single day this week. No worries there. I got John Garcia, who joined us a couple weeks ago, talking recruiting. That's coming up on Thursday. And our good buddy Logan Ward will join us on Friday's show. Josh Ward will join us on tomorrow's show as well. So plenty of guests coming up here this week on Locked On Vols. All right, so let's move on to Twitter Tuesday, shall we? We'll start with Blah. And something I noticed about Blah, Blah's following 44 people, has one follower. I like to believe that Blah 9552-6054 made his Twitter or her Twitter just to time in for Twitter Tuesday. Can't speak. So we're going to believe that Blah made the Twitter account just to participate in Twitter Tuesday. If that's the case, thank you, Blah. That's awesome. With Andre Turrentine commit and the transfer portal closed, what players left in the portal could Tennessee stand to gain the most from getting? Great question, and I do believe this will change. I mean, you've already seen it evolve a little bit. I mean, Tennessee, you know, went in, tried to get Isaiah Nair, had the commit, left, went to Texas, right? That was one. Tennessee swung at Jared Verse, you know, decided to go elsewhere to Florida State. You know, that was two. There's been a couple other ones that Tennessee had some interest in. Most notably here recently, Minnesota running back Marquise Irving. Tennessee had interest there. He's going to Oregon. Maryland defensive lineman, former Tennessee defensive lineman commit, Daryl Jackson. Tennessee had interest there, and I think Jackson had mutual interest, but he decided to go to Miami. Those are most notable. Obviously, the big fish right now is Brew McCoy. We know that. Tennessee wants Brew McCoy. I believe Tennessee's in really, really good shape there. You know, so there's some other names, of course, but that changes all the time. So, you know, when Tennessee's in heavy contention for somebody else, I'll definitely let you know. But the name right now to be watching, of course, is Brew McCoy. We'll go ahead and move now to Always the Volin. Love, love, love that Twitter handle. I say it every single time. He sent me a tweet of his and said, another interesting stat that you might be able to help me figure out. And I apologize to Always the Volin because I just didn't have time before recording this episode to sit there and look it up. And I'll tell you why. Here's this question. Has any SEC East or SEC West team ever swept their entire division? We've only dropped a game to SEC West teams, so I'm curious. Someone at the Stat Guys. Tennessee only has UK and UGA left to do that. Boy, what? I mean, you talk about looking that up. That requires hours and hours and hours of manpower to look that up because I did reach out to Tennessee Sports Information, and they did not have, at least from Tennessee's side of things, they did not have that stat just readily available. Remember, the SEC always didn't have divisions, okay? Didn't always have divisions in East and West. So sooner or later, maybe we can look that up for Tennessee, but we'd have to go year by year and look that up. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that's never happened. I mean, truly. I mean, that is quite the accomplishment, at least for Tennessee. Now, elsewhere in the SEC, maybe you've seen some other teams do it. Maybe Vanderbilt's done it. Maybe Florida's done it. I don't know that, though. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Tennessee's not done that, but I don't know for sure. That is a heck of a question, though, because the way Tennessee's trending right now, and I mean, Tennessee could very easily sweep Kentucky this week, and Georgia's going to be a bit more of a challenge, but it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. So really, really good question. Hopefully we can find out more information on that potentially as the season goes on, because that one requires a lot of research. We'll move on to Kyle. Kyle says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you with the offensive line, especially the tackle position? I know you've said the coaching staff seems more comfortable with what they have now, but to me, that still seems to be a glaring problem. You know, it's interesting, Kyle. I feel like a lot of people think Tennessee's offensive line is not that good. And, you know, it's weaker in comparison to the likes of Kentucky or Alabama or Georgia maybe even. But let's remember, I mean, Tennessee, I have to remind myself of this too, so I'm not talking down to anybody, trust me. Tennessee averaged over 200 yards rushing a game last season, and that was a rotating door at left guard. That was with Cade Mays missing so much time. That was with your left guard, Jerome Corbin, having to play center for Cooper Mays. this offense masked a lot for that offensive line. Now, where the offensive line suffered at times was giving up sacks. Hendon Hooker, of course, is a mobile guy. They got hit a lot off the edge at the right tackle at some, you know, whenever you had to fill that spot, whenever Cade Mays was out. So I would say protecting the quarterback needs to be more of a priority, obviously. Tennessee's running the ball fine, and you know, the stats don't lie, right? But you need to run the ball more effectively against the stouter competitions, the Georgias, the Alabamas. I recognize that. I mean, running for, gosh, what was it? I mean, Tyon Evans had like 193 yards against Missouri. I don't even remember what Tennessee had in that game. I mean, sure, that's good. It's an SEC opponent, but, you know, do it against Georgia and let's talk, right? Offensive line, I like what you have in the interior. I think Javonte Spraggins needs to take a step up at right guard this year for sure, start playing to his potential. I like Cooper Mays. He's the glue at center. I like Jerome Carvin at guard. I like I like Darnell Wright to play one of the sides. He played really well at left tackle, but he's more of a right tackle. That's more of his home base, right? And then the question is left tackle, like we talked about. Is it going to be J.J. Crawford? Is it going to be Gerald Mincy? You know, Styler Steen was in the transfer portal. Tennessee would have taken him, and he would have played every snap that he possibly could at Tennessee if they could have gotten him, but he elected to go to Alabama. So to answer your question, it's not a major concern. You want to protect Hendon Hooker more for sure, but I wouldn't say that it's a weakness because Tennessee's offense is going to go and it's going to mask a lot of that offensive line play with the vertical running lanes, with the quick passing, with spreading things out. That's just kind of how this offense does. And that's a good thing for sure, especially when you have the injury concerns on the offensive line last year. We will go to Hole in the Roof. And my guy Hitter94 says, this is a comment, a linebacker depth or lack thereof is going to torpedo the 2022 season, isn't it? Man, I'll disagree with you, and I'll tell you why. Because, gosh, if it didn't torpedo the 2021 season, what makes you think it's going to torpedo the 2022 season? Now, I recognize the back half of the season, specifically the last couple of games, linebacker play was not good. Aaron Beasley, who showed up in moments last year, who played pretty well for about half the season, was just awful the back half of the season. Solon Page, not great. I recognize that. And they didn't play anybody else. I mean, of course, you had Juwan Mitchell that played some at the beginning of the season. Then he got hurt and missed the rest of the year. And Jeremy Banks was good. So this year you have more depth. Aaron Willis hit the transfer portal. I get that. And a lot of you guys have asked about that. Heck, he was one of my favorite signees of that class of 2021. But ultimately didn't work out for a number of different reasons. But he was not knocking on the door of the two deep. He really wasn't. You've got Banks and Juwan Mitchell, who is in the fold right now. To our understanding, he didn't have contact this spring, but Juwan Mitchell was there, and it looks like he's in good standing. And if he's healthy and ready to roll, he will contribute. You got those two. You got Solon Page. You got Aaron Beasley. That's four right there. Elijah Herring is here and taking strides and stepping up, and he looks bigger. He looks like an SEC football player right now. That's good. You've got Pat Garland, who the coaching staff is continuing to rave about, the former walk-on that continues to get better and better and better. He looks like an SEC guy as well. He continues to get better. So you're having more depth, and they might go get somebody via the transfer portal. We'll see. But you feel much better about that position, and William Moham will contribute there as well, but he was out this spring. You feel so much better about that spot than you did this time last year for sure, but even in the season, in my opinion. So we'll have to see how that continues to look as the summer and fall camp take shape. All right, Twitter Tuesday, it will continue when we return here on Locked On Vols. Plenty of more to get into. Don't you worry, but let me remind you guys about my friends over at BetOnline. It's betonline.net. What a great time to be a sports fan. I talk about it all the time. You've got the basketball playoffs going on right now at the professional level. You got professional baseball going on right now. You have golf tournaments and majors. One big major just happened. You got another one coming up. It was the Mexico Open this past weekend. You know, whatever you want, you can get in on that action, make a whole lot of money if you do it the right way, right? I mean, we're all sports fans. We all watch sports. It's our passion. We all follow sports. And a lot of you guys are into sports gambling right now, and that's awesome. So am I. Put that knowledge to use. Be smart about it. Put some coin in your pocket. We could all use some more money, for sure. And you can win it all at betonline.net right now. But it's not just for your for extracurricular activities. No, I mean, you can get sports developments, league reviews, league news. You can get things on esports, on reality television. It's something for everybody. And you can check it all out today. You can go to the website, that's betonline.net, or you can get it from the palm of your hand with a mobile device and learn about all the latest trends and all the action and all the news and everything that engulfs sports that we know today. It's all at betonline.net. Betonline.net, it is where the game starts. We continue on with this Tuesday edition of Locked On Vols. I'm Eric Kane. Guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me and, as always, watching on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for making Locked On Vols your first listen. We continue on with Twitter Tuesday. I don't know how much crossover there is. I don't know how many of you guys listen to the Diamond Vols podcast that me and Ben McKee do twice a week, recapping the weekend and previewing the weekend. I probably made a lot of people mad when we did it yesterday on Monday. Or really it was Sunday night, actually, talking about the incident on Saturday night with the three-run home run, the bat flip, Tony Vitello taking a returning serve, throwing the bat over there. If you guys watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. A little fireworks, right, on that Saturday night game against Tennessee baseball in Auburn. Well, as we continue on with Twitter Tuesday, RG100 emoji chimes in. This is what he says. A lot of Arkansas and Auburn fans, rent-free haters, were in the UT mention saying stuff like, y'all can dish it out, but you can't take it, in reference to the bat flip Saturday night. I'm of the opinion that Tony and Tennessee players wouldn't care whatsoever about the standard bat flip. This one was flipped over towards the UT dugout, causing the reaction. What do you think about that? For what it's worth, I highly doubt it was intentional. Dude was just charged up. It happens. Well, for starters, I agree 100% with that. The dude just gave his team the lead with a three-run bomb in the ninth inning against Tennessee, okay? Against the number one team in the country. Emotions are high. Absolutely. I personally, and people will fight me on this, and people have fought me on this, and that's okay. This is just how I see it, right? We can all interpret things the way we interpret them. He flipped the bat towards Tennessee's dugout. I'm a big baseball fan. You guys know me. I'm 80 years old. I'm an unwritten rule guy on certain aspects of it. I've become more, you know, I'm for the DH. That's another conversation, though. But anyway, the bat flip was flipped towards Tennessee's dugout. But let's not act like he flipped it straight in there. I mean, it bounced and trickled like two or three times like a football does, and it rolled over there towards Tony Vitello, who is on the front step of that dugout. Why? He's the first one that's out there. I don't think that he meant to do it. In my opinion, I like RG says, I think he was animated, amped up, and ready to roll, right? Is it the end of the world what Tony Vitello did? No, but I mean, just don't do that. I mean, you're the head coach of a program, right? And I get it. Everybody here listening is probably like, oh, yeah, I thought it was funny, first and foremost. I thought it was hilarious. I was laughing the entire time. I'm not going to ridicule him. I'm not going to kill him for it. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it's just like, I mean, come on, don't throw the bat. What if he would have hit somebody with that, right? I mean, seriously, let's think about this. What if he would have hit somebody with that? I mean, we're talking about a huge issue here, right? But he didn't, and it's not that big of a deal. I get all that. But as far as the whole you can take it or you can do it but you can't take it, I made that comment on the Diamond Balls podcast. And what I meant by that was, and I didn't necessarily mean it in this regard, I just meant what Auburn did that night, don't even act like Tennessee wouldn't do that. Tennessee hadn't done that, the bat flip towards the dugout. But don't act like that's something Tennessee wouldn't do, because Tennessee definitely would do it. That was my point by that. Tennessee hadn't done that. Now, granted, they've had theatrics, they've showboated, and that's fine. That is their right. They're good. They back it up, and they've done it. They have not bat flipped towards an opponent's dugout yet. But don't act like that's something they wouldn't do, because I truly believe that's something Tennessee would do. That's my opinion on the whole matter. Again, sitting there watching, I'm like, oh crap, Tennessee just gave up the lead. Oh wow, or Tennessee, Auburn just tied the game. Oh wow, 3-run home run. Tennessee's now down big. Oh, wow, you know, dugouts are emptying. What's Tony Vitello doing? Then I saw the replay. I laughed the whole time. I thought it was hilarious. But just emotions are high. But I do agree with you, RJ100 emoji. I don't believe that was intentional. I just think the guy was amped up, right? I truly, truly do. But bottom line, regardless of what happens, you come back and you win the series. And that's what Tennessee did on Sunday. And you go back and you continue being the best baseball team in the country. And that's what Tennessee is. And it's not even close. I'm telling you. It is not even close. Let's now go to the Locked On Vols account. Let's check in with Sawyer. More baseball notes. Did Ben Joyce earn a shot at some more safe situations after his performance Sunday against Auburn? prototypical closer stuff that looked like a man possessed that day. Thanks for all you do. Love the show. Thank you so much, Sawyer. Yeah, and again, this is another thing that I talked about on the Diamond Balls podcast. I'm not a big overreaction guy. That's just not my personality. It's not what I do. Was talking with Ben, my buddy, and he was, you know, he even said, he's like, hey, I'm going to overreact. I think Ben Joyce, I trust him, you know, as much as Redmond Walsh in the bullpen. That was the first high leverage situation Ben Joyce has ever been in. And by God, did he not pass a flying colors. He was incredible, right? I mean, he went four innings. He pitched 30, I think he threw like 50 some odd pitches, 30 some odd were strikes. 28 of the 30 some odd strikes were over 100 miles an hour. That is incredible. So the velocity never dipped. That's why Tony Vitello does believe that when he gets drafted, this being Ben Joyce, the organization can choose if they want to say, all right, do you want to be back into the bullpen guy or do you want to be a starter? Because I do believe he can be a starter. Tony Vitello says that he can be a starter. They just don't want to do that because they don't want to mess anything up for his future. So it's you don't want to pin him just to a traditional closer role. You don't want him to just be coming out in the bottom of the ninth getting three outs, okay? Or top of the ninth. You don't want that, okay? I think you should use Ben Joyce just like you used Redmond Walsh, just like you've used Will Mabry a little bit this year, just like you used him the other night. Big-time situation, when you need to shut down that lineup, when you need to get three outs, when you need to work out of a jam, call on Ben Joyce. I think he's earned more of those opportunities for sure, to answer your question, because he came on and he was magnificent. Magnificent. I mean, how on the earth do you hit 105-mile-per-hour fastball? You just can't, right? I mean, that's the fastest college pitch ever recorded in the history of college baseball. The second fastest pitch, to my knowledge, ever recorded in baseball overall. Aroldis Chapman has the highest in Major League Baseball. So, absolutely, Sawyer, I do believe that he has earned more of those opportunities. That is the only high-leverage situation he's ever been in. I'll say it again, but boy, did he pass with flying colors. Let's go to Andrew. Which Vols coach gets the most credit for five Vols getting drafted? Jones, two signees, Pruitt, three signees, or Heupel, that got him over the hump? Man, what a great question. I believe you found him, you brought him to Tennessee, you signed him, but I don't think Jones gets any of that credit because it's about development. For the most part, Jeremy Pruitt's staffs developed those players, but again, Alante Taylor would not have been a second-round pick this time last year. Matthew Butler would not have been drafted this time last year. Theo Jackson would not have been drafted this time last year. So think about that. That's incredible. You've got to give a lot of credit to Heupel and his staff. I mean, you really, really do. Rodney, you tell me Rodney Garner was not a direct influence on Matthew Butler being a draftable player? He absolutely was. You mean to tell me Glenn Ellerbe didn't help Cade Mays become a draft-eligible player? In my opinion, I thought Cade Mays would have been a much higher draft pick when he came to Tennessee, but there was a lot of things outside of the control, flip-flopping from guard to tackle, getting hurt all the time. That kind of is what it is. But man, Theo Jackson, you mean to tell me Willie Martinez, who freaking recruited him under Butch Jones' staff to Tennessee and now coached him up to the NFL? I mean, if we're going to start bench cut this, take this from the starting lineup, you listeners at the starting lineup know what I'm talking about. I would probably start. I'm probably going to start Heupel's staff. It was 1 year, but really, I mean, getting him over the hump. I'll start Heupel's staff. I'll bench Pruitt's staff. I'll cut Jones' staff. And again, I know Pruitt did a lot to develop Alante Taylor. I know that. And Matthew Butler. I get all that. And Theo Jackson, for that matter. But I'm going to give that that award, if you will, to Heupel and the boys, because I think they deserve an awful lot of credit. Got a couple more here. I know we're running late. Let's go to Tyler. Heupel's an offensive guy, and he just got three defensive players drafted in the same year. Twitter Tuesday. How massive... I knew I was forgetting somebody. And Bayless Jones. Bayless Jones would not have been drafted last year. You don't mean to tell me that the system helped him and Kelsey Pope and Cody Burns didn't help him out? Absolutely they did. All right, Tyler, back to you. How massive is this for recruiting that an offensive-minded head coach got three defensive players drafted? It's huge. I mean, it really is, because it just goes to show you, if you're a blue chipper on defense, if you go to Tennessee, you're not just going to be forgotten, right? You're not just going to go and be the complement to a high-powered offense. No, they take it seriously. Brian Jean-Marie, Tim Banks, Willie Martinez, of course, Rodney Garner, Mike Eckler, all those guys. You know, you're going to be in good hands. You're going to have an opportunity to showcase your talents and potentially be be an NFL type guy. And last but not least, we'll head over to Facebook. Eric chimes in every single week on my Facebook page. That's at Caner on Air. You can as well. And he says, can either of the transfers, Turrentine or Walker, can they play cornerback, or they both want them at safeties or maybe the nickel guys? Good question. I think both of those guys are more inside guys. I think they're more safeties. They can play star. I think Turrentine can play corner a little bit, but for the duration of their college careers, and granted it's only been one redshirt season for Turrentine, they have been safeties and inside players. Guys, thank you so much for another great edition of Twitter Tuesday. I've already recorded two shows today. My voice is about shot. I'll have to rest it up for morning radio, and then we'll record Wednesday's show, and we'll get it out there, and at least for me, I'm done for the week. But shows will be available every single day as normal this week. Can't thank you enough for helping me out and just hanging out with us every single day, supporting the show. It means more to me. I say this all the time, but I promise you, it means more to me than you will ever know. I tell you, it's fun and it is a blessing. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. We'll have Josh Ward Wednesday coming up on tomorrow's show. We'll continue to break down the latest in Tennessee football and recruiting and baseball. John Garcia on Thursday, Logan Ward on Friday. That is your rundown for the rest of the week. And now that you listen to Locked On Vols, check out Locked On SEC with Chris Gordy. Fantastic shows there from Chris Gordy. Awesome interviews. Make Locked On SEC your second listen behind Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day. Guys, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we will talk again tomorrow.